You're listening to the Irish Times Roisin Meets podcast.
Welcome back to Roisin Meets. My guest today is Mary Farley, an American mother living in Ireland who is involved in an organisation called Moms Demand Action. And they're a group of mothers dedicated to fighting for greater gun control in the US. Beginning with Columbine in 1999, more than 187,000 school students attending around 193 primary or secondary schools have experienced a shooting on campus during school hours. And that's according to a year-long Washington Post analysis. This year alone, there have been almost 20 school shootings reported where someone was hurt or killed. And the worst incident, of course, was in February when 17 people were shot dead in Parkland, Florida. But school shootings are just part of the United States gun violence epidemic. And this Saturday, many Americans will take part in demonstrations all across the country as part of the March for Our Lives demonstration, which advocates for better gun control. A sister solidarity protest will be held outside the American Embassy in Dublin this Saturday at 3 p.m. and Mary Farley with Moms Demand Action is helping to organise that rally. I invited her into the studio to talk to me about why enough is enough when it comes to gun control. Mary Farley, you've been in Ireland for 6 months. You're very welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a bit about yourself, first of all, and then we'll get on to this issue that is so close to your heart and that you're so passionate about. But tell us about Mary Farley.
Well, I'm an American. I'm just recently moved to Dublin with my family, my two daughters and my husband, for my husband's job. We are from Boston, where every Irish person is a celebrity. And we are loving living in Ireland.
This issue is obviously very crucial to you, and it's something that you've become kind of quite a spokesperson about. So tell us about your involvement.
Well, I always had an opinion about gun reform back in the U.S., but I joined Moms Demand Action in 2016. I had attended an information session at my daughter's school about an intruder drill that they were going to be having. And that just kind of struck fear into my heart, hearing these words being thrown around in the context of a school about, you know, lockdowns and announcements being made over the loudspeaker, and the kids were going to be encouraged to flee an intruder, these vocabulary words that were so frightening to a parent. And my daughter was in first grade when this moment happened. And
so what age would she have been?
She was about seven. And there's just still, you know, when your children are seven, they've just come out of preschool and kindergarten, you're still thinking of them as your babies. And it was just frightening to hear that language in that context.
And this was something that was seen, this intruder drill, something very necessary and almost, I wouldn't say commonplace, but something that is happening in schools across America. And this is something you just need to know about because this could happen.
Absolutely.
And we need to be prepared, kind of thing.
Absolutely.
It's happening. Which sort of normalizes it a little bit in a way.
Well, that's one part of it that we have to be really careful about, is not normalizing this gun violence and not normalizing the sight of a person walking down the street with a gun, because that does desensitize people to this issue. And that's one thing that we're sort of working hard to prevent.
So there's a very shocking statistic. According to data from the Gun Violence Archive, a total of 34 mass shootings have occurred as of, I think it was February 21st, and that included the school shooting in Florida.
What's scary about that, too, is that the ones where there's only two people murdered, or maybe five, barely get press coverage. You know, it's the numbers are really shocking.
Tell us how this Moms Demand Action started, first of all.
That is the sort of grassroots offshoot of a larger gun reform organization called Every Town for Gun Safety. Moms Demand Action in particular was started in 2012 by a mom named Shannon Watts after the Sandy Hook shooting, which was particularly dreadful, in which 20 first graders and six adults were murdered. And Shannon had a corporate background and sort of had the wherewithal and the, you know, experience to lead and organize groups of people. And we've been able to, just in 6 short years, start really affecting legislation at the state and the national level.
And as an organization, you support the Second Amendment?
Absolutely.
Tell us a bit about that, because some people, you know, we don't have that right to bear arms or whatever. Maybe it's harder for us to understand, but why do you support it?
Well, thanks for asking that, because that's a really important part of this fight. We do support the Second Amendment, which is an amendment to our U.S. Constitution that gives people the right to keep and bear arms. And one thing that we have to keep in mind is that this amendment was written in 1791. It is a very old piece of legislation. But we do support it, and we do understand that people want to hunt, people want to own guns for sport, and people want to defend themselves. And we do not, but we do feel that we can support the Second Amendment while still making gun ownership responsible and, with a few common sense changes, make it safer for everyone.
I mean, America is the worst, I suppose, I don't want to say offender, but this is where they happen the most. It doesn't happen like this in any other country. So there's clearly a huge issue. But culturally, there's also a massive lobby in the NRA who are, you know, very active and actually scary. I've seen some of their videos, and the way they communicate is quite aggressive and antagonistic. Are you sort of chipping against a massive thing? Even you saw these students coming out and very emotionally, I thought they were amazing, and the school walkouts, and there seems to be a lot happening. But on the other hand, it's such a huge mammoth kind of lobby that you're dealing with. Can you hope to make any changes?
We definitely can. We are, one of the things that Moms Demand Action is doing, and every town is doing, is trying to make an A rating from the NRA a scarlet letter for every legislator that earns that grade. And we will vote them out. The NRA does donate a lot of money, and it seems to me, this is my personal opinion, that the only motivation can be money. What other motivation could there be? It's not about rights, because people are allowed to own guns and hunt and shoot, and we are not trying to take away those rights. But surely the safety of our school children and of all Americans, black and white Americans, every American, has to be important, more important than just selling a weapon.
In the 6 years since you've been involved in this, what have you learned? Like, what have you been surprised by? Because I presume you've been kind of delving down a whole rabbit hole of information and statistics and stuff. But what have you been surprised by, or what have you learned the most about this whole area?
Well, really, the inaction has surprised me. After Sandy Hook, I was sure that something would happen, and that, you know, that the sight of 20 dead first graders would surely spur these legislators to do something, and it still didn't. And that was a shock. And so that's what's been the most surprising thing, that we're still at this impasse all these years later.
And why is that? I know that's a big question, but I presume you've thought about it.
I have. And of course, you know, I'm not in the Congress every day, but it's a complicated thing. I do feel like there's a lot of pressure on lawmakers now to vote along party lines. I feel that there's pressure on them from lobbyists, and that our government is too beholden to lobbyists. And one of the reasons that I am in particular speaking out, especially now, is because the gun lobby is so vocal and so aggressive in their sort of vitriolic discourse, that I feel like we really have to provide that counterpoint, the voice of the other side, and we have to be as strong as they are. But I'm really hoping that we can also turn the vitriol down on this and turn it into a civilized debate. You know, certainly they have their opinion and we have ours, but we need to come at it from a much more civilized point of view.
When Barack Obama was president, you often saw him come out and talk about this issue and, you know, talk about the gun laws and perhaps the fact that they needed to change.
Our unalienable right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, those rights were stripped from college kids in Blacksburg and Santa Barbara, and from high schoolers at Columbine, and from first graders in Newtown. First graders. And from every family who never imagined that their loved one would be taken from our lives by a bullet from a gun. Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad. And by the way, it happens on the streets of Chicago every day. All of us need to demand a Congress brave enough to stand up to the gun lobby's lies. All of us need to stand up and protect its citizens. All of us need to demand governors and legislators and businesses do their part to make our communities safer.
And now you have Trump there, who seems to be very much a friend of the NRA and somebody that they can rely on. How has that been in the last while, sort of knowing, I mean, when he comes out and talks about these incidents in schools, it's not with the same tone at all that Barack Obama did.
No, it is a distinctly different tone. And that tone tends to change sometimes day by day, which can be confusing for American voters. That's another reason why it's particularly important to speak out right at this very moment. We need to take action, because the things that President Trump is talking about, hardening schools, quote unquote, as he's used that word, and arming teachers is the antithesis of what we should be doing to fight gun violence.
We have to harden our schools, not soften them up. A gun-free zone to a killer or somebody that wants to be a killer, that's like going in for the ice cream. That's like, here I am, take me. We have to get smart on gun-free zones. When they see it says, this is a gun-free zone, that means that nobody has a gun except them. Nobody's going to be shooting bullets in the other direction. And they see that as such a beautiful target. They live for gun-free zones. One of the fake news networks, CNN last night, was saying, I want teachers to have guns. I don't want teachers to have guns. I want certain highly adept people, people that understand weaponry, guns, if they really have that aptitude, because not everybody has an aptitude for a gun, but if they have the aptitude, I think a concealed permit for having teachers and letting people know that there are people in the building with gun, you won't have, in my opinion, you won't have these shootings, because these people are cowards. They're not gonna walk into a school if 20% of the teachers have guns. It may be 10% or maybe 40%. And what I'd recommend doing is the people that do carry, we give them a bonus. We give them a little bit of a bonus. They're, frankly, they'd feel more comfortable having the gun anyway, but you give them a little bit of a bonus. So practically for free, you have now made the school into a hardened target.
He'll say one day that he's in favor of raising age limits, but then he'll go and have a conversation with who knows who, and the next day his opinion has changed, that, oh, maybe age limits, you know, we'll have to deal with that another time. So we really need to, work on getting Trump's sort of opinion to be clear so that we can understand what we're fighting against, and also to get legislators to understand that we will vote them out if they don't, start to understand that gun reform is important.
When he said that about teachers being armed, what was it like for you guys in your organization to hear the president of America talking in that way?
I'll speak for myself personally. It scares me to my core, and it has definitely spurred me to more action in the past several months, knowing that that is a possibility. The scary thing is that sometimes he makes these grand statements that sound to me outlandish, but they happen. We're building the wall in between Mexico and the U.S. He just got funding for it. The things that he says that sometimes seem crazy sometimes happen. And we really need to stand up and understand that if we don't fight this, you very well could be walking into a classroom where a teacher has a gun.
Can we go slightly off topic here for a second? Because I'm just curious, listening to you about Trump, that what are your thoughts on him as a president as a whole?
Well, these are all such complicated questions, Rasheen.
I'm so sorry.
I want to be able to support my president, and I want to be respectful of my president because I think that that's important to discourse. I don't want to sink to any levels that we seem to be sinking to. Like Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. And we really have to raise the level of civility. But I do certainly disagree with a lot of the policies that he is putting forward. Let's leave it at that.
Well, back to the guns. I mean, you've got this rally coming up. Tell us about that, because there's going to be March for Our Lives going on in America, a big, huge
statement.
And this is sort of an Irish solidarity march. So I presume it'll be Americans, but also some Irish people getting involved in
Definitely. So the March for Our Lives was started by some of the surviving kids, they refer to themselves as survivors of the Parkland, Florida shooting. And these juniors and seniors have really stepped to the forefront of this movement, and they're having a distinct change. The zeitgeist is shifting. So they held a national walkout day last week in America, and students walked out to show, you know, solidarity.
We want change!
You say law! Gun!
Law!
Gun!
Law!
I hope that the president will step up, stop accepting money from the NRA, because if all the deaths that have occurred aren't enough to convince him, then I guess it just has to be us protesting right now.
Were any of them suspended? Because I did see in the run-up to it that schools were going to suspend them.
Yes, a few did suspend, or they offered, detention. Yes, some of them were punished. But the March for Our Lives is going to be a march on Washington led by these kids, led by the youth movement, who are the new generation of voters, which is so exciting for this movement to finally see this hope that's real happening. So they're going to march on Washington, and in solidarity, there are going to be marches in every single U.S. state and in many countries across the world. And at first, when this started happening, I thought, oh, should I, you know, organize a march in Dublin? And I sort of didn't know if it would be, you know, valid or if anybody would come. But then a few other organizers started getting together on Facebook. And so our main organizer is Lindsay Copit and Greg Johnson, the chair of Democrats Abroad Ireland, and Korea Ihus, who helped with the Women's March. They all stepped forward, and we kind of all met through social media and joined forces, and everybody's brought different strengths to it. And so we are going to march, and especially in Ireland, which does have a close relationship with the United States. You know, we celebrate St. Patty's.
Yeah. What did you say? Did you say St. Patty's?
No.
Good.
No.
Good. Because
I said that.
No. Because some people say that. I'm not going to.
Paddy's.
Yes. Okay. Good. Yes, we can move on now, Mary. It's fine.
Thank you.
It's all good.
No, I'm glad you checked.
You have to clarify.
We really need hope that the global pressure of seeing that other countries are watching and listening and paying attention to what's happening in the U.S. regarding gun reform legislation will have an effect on legislators.
So you expect a good crowd then outside the U.S.
We do.
Embassy?
Yes, several hundred, we're thinking.
That would be brilliant. And are the embassy dealing with you on this, or how does that work?
Well, not really, actually. We are allowed to protest outside the embassy, as, you know, it's our right as sort of American citizens, and also, you know, Irish laws allow us to protest. But no, the embassy is not helping or backing or endorsing this.
How have you enjoyed living in Ireland for 6 months so far?
Oh, we absolutely love it.
Whereabouts are you
living?
Love it.
Down in South Dublin.
Okay.
Kind of along the water there. Well,
Dunley?
Not on the water, but down in that area, Dunleary area. And we just absolutely love it. The country is gorgeous and the people are lovely. And I have found that I can get by without a giant SUV. I can
imagine. Did you ever think?
Yes. I've learned that cars can fit into extremely tight spaces. And we just love it.
Okay. And what about the children? Because now there's not going to be any intruder drills in the school they're in, I imagine.
I hope not. And I hope that they are not needed, you know.
Going back to that intruder drill that sort of sparked your interest in this, is there any other ways that you've personally been affected by the gun control laws in America? Or was it mainly just that knowing that your kids might be exposed to this?
It was mainly that. What happened with that intruder drill was that I had gone to that information session at night, you know, sort of sat in the school cafeteria and watched a sort of PowerPoint presentation from the principal go through all these scary scenarios. And one of the things we were told was that the students would be in their classrooms when the alarm was sounded, so nobody would be scared or frightened. And as I said, my child was in first grade at the time, so I was concerned about sort of how she would deal with it. And she came home after school that day, and, you know, I tried not to claw details out of her, but she said, oh, well, I talked to a policeman in the hallway today. And I thought, huh, okay. And I kind of said, oh, and, you know, gradually the details spilled, you know, first grade details. You have to kind of put the puzzle together. But it turned out that she had sort of accidentally, I think, been in the bathroom by herself when the alarm was sounded. And, you know, a first grader does not have the wherewithal to pull their legs up so that, you know, you can't see them below the toilet, below the bathroom stall, or to hide in the bathroom or block a door. And so she wandered out into the hallway and was greeted by a nice policeman. And when I found out that she had been alone in a hallway with a policeman staring at her when all of her class was out in a field hiding from a pretend intruder, it just made me, I don't think I cried in front of her, but I know I cried. It just scared me to my core. And, you know, little children don't have the capacity for those kinds of things. So when I found out that she had been by herself, it just scared me. And that's really what brought me to Moms Demand Action and to do more than just writing an occasional letter or sending an occasional email. I really needed to jump in.
And I presume your husband, the dad in the scenario, was also very upset. But it is called Moms Demand Action. So I'm interested in that. Right. Why is it a particularly female parenting thing?
I think that's in part because of Shannon founding it. She was a stay-at-home mom at the time. And, you know, there's a saying that if you want something done, ask a mom. But certainly dads are extremely capable too. And dads like are more that, than welcome to join Moms Demand Action.
Are they? Are there dads
Absolutely.
In Moms Demand Action?
Yes, there are actually. And I know, I think that someday we need to either start Dads Demand Action or change
or
the name
to
Moms.
Demand Action.
Right, exactly. We need to be a little more inclusive because it is important that everyone is involved in this. But yes, my husband certainly feels strongly about this issue as well.
So what's your ultimate wish? I mean, if, you know, Moms Demand Action and all the other groups that are working so hard to try and change things got what they wanted, what would it look like? What would your gun laws in America look like?
There are sort of a few different platforms at the moment. The March for Our Lives in particular wants to ban assault-style weapons and have those reserved for military and law enforcement. They want to prohibit the sale of these high-capacity magazines that allow a large group of people to be mowed down in seconds if somebody has to stop and reload. And they also want to close the background check loopholes. The background check loophole is essentially a private sale loophole that right now in America, you're allowed to sell guns by private sale without requiring ID or requiring a background check, which is a giant loophole for people who, you know, have nefarious intentions to be able to obtain a very dangerous weapon. Moms Demand Action has similar goals. To use an American baseball analogy, we're playing small ball. We really want sort of small, common sense steps forward. You know, we're fighting a big behemoth in the NRA and in current gun legislation. And if we could get a few small, common sense steps taken, it will really make a big difference. Things like passing laws to keep guns out of the hands of domestic violence offenders, improving record keeping so that people, criminals and domestic violence offenders are less able to get weapons easily, increasing background checks, increasing age limits, things like that.
Are you hopeful? Are you optimistic?
I am. And the reason I am optimistic this time is because of these Parkland kids. Honestly, they really have given me renewed hope in this movement. They're all going to turn 18 and they're all going to become voters.
And you think that's something that might actually have an influence on the people who have power because these are voters now.
Yes.
It's so cynical, but the fact that they might be able to vote them out is a...
Yes, that is really the only thing that's going to strike fear in the heart of a legislator.
It's really interesting that particularly Florida has it created overnight like these incredible activists. I mean, I was just astounded by how articulate they were, how passionate, and people that you just could stop and listen to.
If all our government and president can do is send thoughts and prayers, then it's time for victims to be the change that we need to see.
And they have an amazing grasp of social media. They're funny on social media, and they're gripping on social media. And that really is important to the new generation coming up, that, you know, to be able to communicate that way and to draw people to your movement that way. And so I think that's another one of their strengths, that they'll be able to rally people.
And how old are your children now?
Mine are 7 and 9.
Okay. And what do they think of a mommy the activist? Do they understand that that's what you are now?
Well, like I said, I do try to take a measured approach, and I'm not trying to force my political views on my children, although, you know, they'll be out of the will if they don't want gun control. But just kidding. But just last night, we have been talking about the rally a little bit at home. And just last night, my daughter, the older one, the one who was at the intruder drill, came down with a special poster she had drawn. And it showed a little desk with a person sitting there with an apple and a ruler and some sort of symbols of teaching. And it had that symbol plus, and then she had drawn a gun, equals, and then in giant red letters, disaster. And I was like, yes, my work here is done. She gets it.
So totally gets it. And I presume she knows that at the heart of all this is your intention and your motivation to try and keep children in America safe.
I hope so.
And that's what you're trying to do. I think it's great work. Tell us about the details if people want to go to this rally outside the U.S. Embassy in Dublin.
Thank you. Yes, it is on 24 March, Saturday, and we're going to start at 3 p.m. We're going to go till 5:30. There's also an event at 1 p.m. prior to the rally that's going to be sort of making posters at Patty Cullen's and having a chat beforehand. And it's at the U.S. Embassy, which is at 42 Elgin Road in Ballsbridge.
Okay, Elgin Road, I think.
Thank you.
Give you a little pronunciation lesson.
I wanted to
there.
Look that up. And
listen, I said some statistics earlier, and I just wanted to be clear that the gun violence archive data is that 34 mass shootings have occurred so far this year. That's up until February 21st, which is just incredible. And it was 346 last year. And as you say, the ones that are just two or three deaths, fatalities, hardly get a mention.
Barely make the news.
Because there is a normalisation of it.
Yes, we are desensitised to violence.
What do you think this will do for America if your work is successful?
Well, I hope that it will re-sensitise us in a sense and bring our attention to things that we're doing that might cause people to feel this way. You know, there's one whole side of this new legislation that they're trying to push is they're saying, well, we have to worry about mental health and we have to worry about bullying and these kinds of things that sort of draw our attention away from the main issue, which is guns. You know, that this Stop School Violence Act that recently is kind of coming to the forefront of legislation doesn't mention guns at all. It mentions things that we have to do to increase security at schools and, you know, talk about mental health. But it doesn't say gun, and that really is the core thing that we have to focus on. I am hoping that everyone will sort of rethink how we treat each other. Our society is not, you know, a group of individuals. We really have to keep each other safe and work for each other's well-being. I'm going to quote Hillary Clinton now. Sorry.
Good.
Sorry,
no,
Donald.
We like that.
But it takes a village. You know, it really does. And we have to all work together on this.
Mary Farley from Mums Demand Action, and the best of luck with the rally on Saturday.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's all we have time for this week. Thank you to my guest, Mary Farley. And just a reminder that Dublin's March for Our Lives sister protest takes place outside the US Embassy in Ballsbridge, Dublin at 3 p.m. Today's podcast was produced by Jennifer Ryan with JJ Vernon on sound. I'm Roisin Ingle, and I'll talk to you next time.